News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, do not adjust the dial on your radios because I am about to mention Brexit, but only in passing, because today the Joint Oireachtas Committee on European Affairs are meeting to discuss building alliances to help strengthen the EU in the post-Brexit era. Joining us to discuss is Dan O'Brien, columnist with the Independent Newspaper Group and former Europe editor at the Economist Intelligence Unit. Dan, look, it's understandable there's been a short-term focus in terms of Brexit and its immediate impacts, but do we need to readjust our sights in terms of what happens to Europe and the EU and the direction it takes without the United Kingdom?
I think we definitely do. Europe is probably our most important international engagement. It's a very unusual structure. It involves having a parliament, laws. There's no other part of the world that has a political structure of that kind, that countries share sovereignty in that way. Britain was one of the big three countries in that structure since we joined. We both joined together. And when Britain leaves, the nature of the European Union is going to change. There's no doubt about that. And
yeah, so we might talk about how it will change without the United Kingdom. Explain to me, though, first, to give a context, Europe as it exists today, what aspects of it are as a result of the United Kingdom's membership?
Well, for example, the single market. When we joined the European Union, it was a customs union, a phrase, an expression that's been used a lot in the context of Brexit, which means it's a form of a trade relationship that is deep, but not as deep as creating a single market. Now, people may recall that back in the 1980s and 90s, we went further than a customs union and created a single market in Europe. France has traditionally been quite protectionist about opening up to foreign trade. Britain traditionally, historically, has been much more open. So the addition of Britain to the bloc shifted the center of gravity of the bloc towards free trade. And with its departure, it's likely to become somewhat less open to free trade.
Yeah, because maybe that's a little counterintuitive to hear that from most people. The idea that if the centre of power shifts towards the more integrationist United Kingdom to a more protectionist France, some people might have assumed that without the UK there hitting the brakes, that Europe would become more integrationist, certainly in a political sense.
Well, that's true in the political sense, but now I meant that purely in terms of, you know, does the EU want to do a trade deal with the United States, with China? Does it want to do a global trade deal, which has run into the ground in recent years, where everyone would remove trade barriers together, everyone across the world? So my point is that Britain was in favor traditionally of more openness on a global basis, on an international basis. Of course, within the European Union, the French have tended to be more in favor of doing things together. For example, President Macron has recently been urging that we have a European finance minister.
So a breaking down of borders within the EU to a higher degree, and
exactly
a strengthening of an external border. I'm not talking about immigration.
Well, that's it. Well, the strengthening of the external border is more a risk, because the French have very traditionally had that view of being slightly more protectionist towards the rest of the world. But definitely under the current president, there is a desire to, within the bloc, within the 27, 28 countries, to do more together.
Will we be driving on the right-hand side of the road?
No, I think that's, you know, I'm surprised that's got any traction at all. You know, that's like a little like the bent bananas that the Euro skeptics went on with. There's no need for to change this, the side of the road, particularly as we're an island. So I don't think that. But I think there are other areas, and nor do I think that we'll actually get to the point of a European finance minister. But, you know, there are issues around, do we want a closer banking union? For example, you know, we all still have raw memories of the banking crisis. Do we want a better structure that will make sure that if banks in one country go down, that it doesn't have a contagion effect and bring other banks down? That's an area where
answer those questions. Do we want that in Ireland? Do we want closer fiscal union, a European finance minister, much more political integration? Because traditionally, we might have sidled up alongside the UK in resisting some of that.
Well, I think that's certainly the stance that's been taken by the government. There's a new alliance the government has become involved with. There are the small northern European countries, an arc of countries from the Dutch all the way up to the Danes and the Swedes and around into the Baltic countries. So this new alliance of eight countries has tended to be much more skeptical about these grand leaps towards integration. They tend to be countries that don't want to share, to have a European finance minister. They don't want to go more deeply down that route. And Ireland has aligned itself with that grouping. Now, I would raise questions, is that a good idea? So I'm not sure that the government position of being very, very cautious and conservative about moving towards deeper integration on economic management is actually fully aligned with Ireland's interests.
All right, fascinating stuff. Dan O'Brien, columnist with the Independent Newspaper Group, former Europe editor at the Economist Intelligence Unit. Dan, as always, thanks a million for speaking to us.